Praise the Lord, and God bless you, Pastor Rice, Sister Rose, and all the saints. This is Sister Diane Johnson, who is very thankful and blessed to be at the Overcomer. Thank you, Jesus, and praise your holy name. And I do pray for all the precious brothers and sisters everywhere and ask your continued prayers for me as they are appreciated. And I thank the Lord for the broadcast and the daily bread. Good edifying and encouraging preaching of Jesus, Brother Rice. Just keep on preaching as the saints do need you. May the Lord help the saints to stand fast and fight the good fight of faith. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come is my prayer. May the Lord bless you all and Maranatha.
Lord saints, praise him, praise him. Oh, praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime, praise him. Praise him, praise him when the sun goes. Come on and praise him, praise him. Oh, praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime. Praise him, praise him, praise him when the sun goes. I'm gonna praise. Come on, saints. Praise, oh, praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime, praise him, praise him, praise him when the sun goes down. Glory, glory. Help us now, Father, we're gathered in your name. We would give you the glory. We would give you the praise. We do pray for the saints everywhere, Lord. As I say often, as we pray for one, we pray for all. I believe that when the saints are prayed for, I'm prayed for. So we pray for the saints today, Lord, those whom you've ordained to eternal life, not for the world. We pray for those whom you've called out of the world, those whom you've foreknown and elected. We pray for the sick. We make mention of Brother and Sister Matthew. We didn't get a communique from them, but we pray that all is well, that you would help them in their trial and affliction. We pray, O God, for Brother Abair and his wife Cheryl. He always requests prayer, so supply their need, Father. You know where they stand and what they need have need of, and that's true concern in the body. We can always be confident that you know the way we take and you know what we have need of, and you are the God that supplies our need. We make mention of Brother David Hand there in Bozeman, Montana. He's looking for healing, and we know you to be the healer. There's others that are looking for healing. In fact, we're all looking for healing. We've been healed, but we look yet to be healed. Thank you, Lord. And we pray, O God, for the building of this glorious church. We know that's your business. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we pray that we would yield and submit and be vessels that facilitate this building of the church, not vessels that oppose. And no matter what, Lord God, you will build it. But we want to be on the winning side. We know that we need your help for that. Many started out but didn't continue. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So we're still in the race. We stand in jeopardy every hour. Our hope and trust is in you, though. So help us today, Lord. We can do nothing without you. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. I would speak as the oracles of God, with boldness and confidence, power and conviction, that you might be glorified and the saints may be edified. We would receive the engrafted word with meekness. We would highly esteem thy word. Your servant Job said, I esteem it more than my necessary food. Your servant Jeremiah said, I found thy words and I did eat them. And the joy, our words were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Let it be so with us, O God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. All right, we We have some that would like to testify. We started with one, now we have three. Who knows, we may end up with more. Praise God. The comments we get is the testimonies are always encouraging. I know it to be so. One that tell them and the one that hear them. Of course, the one that tell them hear them also. But testimonies are a way of overcoming. It's a way of continuing in the faith. Because with the heart we believe, but with our testimony, we confess. We testify until we're saved. It says it like this. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we believe in the heart, and we testify until salvation. You can say it like that. Would you testify? See, we testify of Jesus. We are those that have the testimony of Jesus. You know, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we are in the patient waiting for the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Where do we? Help me, Jesus. I've got so much stuff here. I've got on my notes earthly things and heavenly things. Everybody know there's a difference? All right. And then there's celestial things and terrestrial things. There's flesh of beast, flesh of man. All right. But here's what God said. As we have borne the image of the earthy. That pertains to all of us. Here we are. This is earthy. So we can have take comfort in that. Because as surely as we born the image of the earthy, we'll also bear the image of the heavenly.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And if we have hope in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most miserable. So we hope in the resurrection. We hope in Christ in this life, but not in this life only, but also in the life to come, which testify of the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul defends the resurrection. He stands in defense of the gospel, or in defense of Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. Okay? So it is necessary that we stand in defense of that which is true, because the whole world is against it. We even have an enemy in house that's against the truth. I'm saying these things to remind us that we should fight, we should strive. These things are necessary. God's going to save us, but this is how. He cannot save us without us striving. Lord, are there few that be saved? Anybody know the answer? Okay, that's my case. Y'all believe me now? It's just strive. Well, what's striving? Well. I can give you an example. You know, when you're seeking your own, that's how you strive. It just do it, you know, towards seeking God. Anybody ever sought their own? You had to strive to do it, right? Then we know what striving is. Praise the Lord. We know what diligence is. We know what fervency is. Yeah, we know what conviction is, don't we? When we talk about our neighbor, we say it with conviction. When we say, Neil is no good, we say it like we mean it. Well, we know. We are without excuse. All right. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we know and testify. See, testify that which we have seen. And you receive not our witness. Jesus talking to the ruler, Nicodemus. Though he was a ruler, he was like him. But he had faith. The Father had drawn Nicodemus. And he was a ruler, so he didn't want to go by day. So clandestine, he sought audience with Jesus. Hallelujah. And he found him.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus spoke to him and gave him life. Yes, he did. He's a Nicodemus. You must be born again. He said, if you're not born of the water, you can't even see the kingdom. And if you're not born again, you can't enter into the kingdom. So we need to be born again to see the kingdom, though we can see the kingdom and not enter in. But we must be born again to see the kingdom. And definitely to enter into the kingdom, we must be born again. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven. All right? That's when all things are made new. Old things pass away. I mean, see, there's a different applications of that. We that are in Christ, all things have become new.
Yes.
Absolutely. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And we look for all this to be dissolved. Read about it in 2 Peter chapter 3. Seeing then that all these things, everything that we see is temporal. He said, but we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Hallelujah. No more malice. No more covetousness. All of this is unrighteousness. No more deceitful works. Huh? No more hatred for your neighbor. Praise the Lord. Just love for God and peace and righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He said, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Earthly things. We say it every day. We speak things earthly and then we apply them spiritually. But if you don't believe it earthly, then you won't believe it the other way. Praise the Lord. But the truth is ever before us. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven. This is, I'll read it. But he that came down from heaven. Who is that? Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Of course, as he speaks this, he's looking at Nicodemus. So he's everywhere. He said the Son of Man is in heaven. He said that when he was looking at Nicodemus. Ah, again, the mysteries of the kingdom and that we ought to know because it's given unto us to know. And the intricate workings of God, the manifold wisdom of God. Hallelujah. My meditation is, you know, the earthly things and heavenly things, the natural and the spiritual. We can't just throw away the natural. No, we can't just throw away the earthy. Here we are, earthy. Hopefully we're not sensual and devilish. There is a wisdom of that flavor. Huh? It's not from above, though. We all have it, though. That wisdom that's not from above is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So we pray for wisdom from God. I do. In fact, I pray for you. Lord, give us wisdom from above. That is first pure and peaceful, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of knowledge, wisdom, and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. It'd have to come from above. And of course, the wisdom from above and the wisdom from beneath, they oppose each other. Yeah, the wisdom from below tries to rise above the wisdom from above, or the knowledge from above. I heard the preacher say, oh, a few things. One of the things he was just saying while I was sitting here, well, it's hard for people can't live with the people of God. Well, that's strange for our ears to hear, isn't it? Now, he didn't really mean can't. You know, he said it like that. But if he would have said it more perfectly, but we still know what he means. That they don't want to submit to living to the people. With the people of God. Yeah, we can. God said do it, so we can do it. Hallelujah, it's God's purpose. For us to dwell together with him forever. He don't expect us to go to the kingdom and say, well, I didn't know it was going to be like this. Well, I wouldn't do that. Well, we won't do that. You know, well, we would, but we won't. Y'all know the difference? Yeah, with God's wisdom, we won't do it. But we would if it wasn't for the word of God. We get to the kingdom, we won't say, I don't want to be here. We won't say, I didn't think it'd be. Of course, we're being taught now. You know, this is a type of the kingdom. Even if you're not here, if the kingdom of God is within you, you're in a type of the kingdom. And though you're in the world, you're not of the world. And you say, this world is not my home, no matter where you are. But especially here, or any place where people have come apart and gathered together in the name of Jesus, in the fellowship to wait for the promise. That's what we do here. Sometimes when we remind us, which is daily, and if you listen to the broadcast, we're always reminded of that. But when we're earthly minded, that's different than heavenly minded, then we get offended when we are reminded who we are and why we're here and what we're supposed to do. No? Praise the Lord. You aren't offended, are you? That's not adequate. Yield it to, that is my testimony. Hallelujah, but I'm yielded to God, a servant, that God might perform his will and good pleasure in me. And I would do it more perfectly. Hallelujah. I believe that the Lord will perfect that which concerns us. Or he who have begun a good, he which have begun a good work in us, in you, will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. I see Timothy is checking out Ann. Praise the Lord. He's faithful, isn't he? You all, we should, you know, give old Timothy some kudos, especially you sisters. Especially you sisters. He takes a load off of y'all. Huh? Yeah, somebody say amen. Yoko, I can't hear you. Yeah, right. That's just the truth. That's just the truth. He takes a load off of and he still bills and, you know, goes out to the harvest and well, everything else we do. If it was some of us, we say, well, you know, I got to take care of Ann. I can't pick peas. I can't pick strawberries. I can't fix that termite damage because I take, you know, I'm telling the truth. I'm saying this to provoke you. He's a busy man, but still he gets to take care of Ann. Y'all don't think that's commendable? And more perfectly, okay? What God does for us, we know it's commendable, but we'll have to demonstrate it more perfectly. Hallelujah. All right. Help me, Lord. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The language he's speaking means crucify, put on the cross, lay his life down. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I'm going to skip down to verse 27. This is John chapter 3. I'm going to be talking about it. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You'll probably hear me say that every day because that's how we receive. When God gives it to us, everything belongs to him, especially wisdom. We can't have it if we ask for it. In fact, if any man like wisdom, well, that's me. Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He'll compliment you. He'll commend you. You come to ask me for wisdom. Good. Here. He wants it. Now, why are you asking? He won't do that. He'll say, you're doing right. What did he do for Solomon? Well, he'll do the same for you. But if I speak in the wisdom of God, I'll say that men really don't know how to do that. God will have to help them with that. If we come asking God for wisdom, even now while I'm talking, that's why we don't receive from God. We do it with lip service and a heart's not right. I'm asking you, God, because it sounds good. If we ask him, we have to ask him like it's needed. Right. I'm telling the truth. One of the points I want to make is if I'm speaking the word now, it's an opportunity to receive wisdom from God. Now, see how we do? Now, we ask for wisdom, but then when it comes, God knows it already. See? That's why you don't get any. See? You blame me if you want to, but what I'm doing is speaking the word of God. We're taking the rhetoric out of it. We're making it right now. If any man... Any man like wisdom? Well, that's all of us. Let him ask of God. Who giveth liberally. He's not stingy. He's not hoarding it all up for himself. Barrel has no end. The cruise of oil is no. Hallelujah. Meal barrel never fail. Thank you, Lord. But we ask amiss, or we ask not believing. He said, let him ask without wavering. He said, once we ask in faith, then that means we walk like we have that knowledge. Of course, the wisdom of God is not our wisdom. The wisdom of God will teach us to despise our wisdom. Well, how do we do? Sometimes the teacher would give us our papers and let us grade ourselves. Sometimes, of course, they pass them to others. How are we doing? It's the same as examining yourself to see whether you've been in the faith. So go ahead and examine yourself. We should be doing it all the time. It's a full-time job. And there's much work to do. So not only concern and wisdom, but anything we ask God wavering, we don't receive. Not just wisdom, anything. If we ask God, we'll have to ask in faith, believing that he is God and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise the Lord. His mercy endureth forever. Glory, glory. Give me this, brother. So a man can receive nothing except to be given from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, this is John, I'm not the Christ, but that I'm sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. There, this is my joy. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Amen. Next line, he must increase. Amen. Absolutely, I must decrease. Amen. Let's put that in our equation. Amen. Hallelujah. We must humble ourselves. He must be exalted. Praise the Lord. Must. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth, well, is earthly. And speaketh of the earth. So we need the Spirit of God. We need the wisdom of God to speak heavenly. Amen. No matter, even if we say the words without the Spirit, we can't do it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard. He that is from heaven, what he has seen and heard, that he testified. And no man receive his testimony. Huh? What he has seen and heard, the glory of the Father, voice of the Father, the wisdom of the Father. He has seen it, huh? That's what he testified. But some men don't receive his testimony. How do we do? Well, woe is me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. Because Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the first begotten from the dead. He's the one that testified that God is. All right? Hallelujah. He's the only way that any man can know that God is. Because, no man come to the Father but by him. He's the representative, expressed image of the invisible God. Hallelujah. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you again the testimony of God. Jesus Christ has a testimony. It's the one we have. God has a testimony, the one that Jesus had. It's the same as the record. It's the testimony. And this is the record that God gave, that he's given us eternal life. And the life is in his Son. Hallelujah. I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. So if you would hear me, you would have to have ears to hear. You would have to be born again, have the Spirit of God, even the testimony. For I determined not to know, oh God, I determined not to know how precious that is, huh? That's quite difficult for us, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't have to be, but it is. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. We don't always say the right thing when we talk. More than often, we don't. I noticed that Brother David, you know, he's been blessed and God is moving up on him. He's more confident now, but he's talking more too. Well, there's always danger with talking more. More you talk, more trouble you have to get into. Especially when you talk to everybody. You know, I'm talking now. It's not affecting everybody the same. It's the same way when you talk. So David talked to one person. Well, when he talked to some, then. Because that's just the truth. Hallelujah. And don't look to David to be able to discern, because he won't. He'll just talk. And then whoever here will have to discern. Or say, let's talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, David's not the only one. What I send to one, I send to all. Praise God. But we need to be careful what we say. And again, I'll make the point. We do say things. But it's hard for us to submit and say the right thing. I mean, it's mind-boggling. But I put God in the knowledge. Hallelujah. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Here I am. I'm with you. Terry told me, he said, man, when you came, I didn't know that you were going to be a working commander. So I thought you were going to lay back and say, bring me this and bring me that. Well, I don't think we've had, Brother Starr didn't do that. Yeah, he came up milking the cows, plowing the field. Of course, once he gets a little older and you young brother, he shouldn't do that. And that's what happened. But he wasn't one that, you know, say, y'all go get it. I'm going to go to sleep. No, neither am I. Praise God. I'm going to present my body and whatever the Lord would have me to do. Praise the Lord. It's easier to go get the wood than to do this. Amen. I guess whatever job y'all have to do is probably easier than your fervent prayer, isn't it? Absolutely. But we ought to do it. See? Just because I'm not going to say, well, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to the woodpile. It is a refuge for me. See how God does that? See, I get to serve him and be in a refuge. Y'all, that's where we are now. Are we in a refuge? He's our refuge and strength, our very present help. This is the manifold wisdom of God, or the intricate workings of God. You imagine that, me going to the woodpile and it'd be a refuge and rest and fellowship. I don't complain out there. No. I don't want to complain now. Shouldn't complain. You're not complaining at the woodpile, are you, David? Good. Praise God. Let me add, get out of the way. I got to go to the woodpile. Kevin's waiting on me. I'm preaching good, ain't I, David? Okay. Lord's helping me, though. Yes, Lord. Praise the Lord. See, I give God the glory. Make sure you take it right now. Amen. Like I say, what I say to one, I say to all. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I'm on the ground. We need to believe that your neighbor. Yes. If we just understand that, we're all in the war. We're all on the battlefield. Absolutely. We need to pull our weight, as they would say. Pull our weight. That means to, you know, present your body and be faithful in the part that you're supposed to do. Of course, if you're meddling a busybody in other men's business, you're gonna forsake what you need to do. We're always concerned about someone else's fault, then we're gonna be negligent in addressing our own. Y'all know these things, don't you? See how we are? Well, still shouldn't ever have any. We still need to cry out to God.
Yes, amen.
So we shouldn't ever have any reluctance, or we should overcome it when it comes to crying out to God. Well, we should just do that all the time. Help me, Jesus. Vain is the help of man. Glory, glory. Oh, thank you, Lord. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. If anyone is edified at all, this has to be true. Because if I do it otherwise, no one will be edified. So that's the validation of the confirmation that I do that. Because folk are edified. The ones that, you know, God is moving on. Not everybody. Some. No. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Paul said it's done this way that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So we forget about the earth and understand that what's going on in our heart is actually the power of God.
Yes.
And stop despising the vessel.
Amen.
Stop trying to remake the vessel.
Amen.
Stop trying to find some deceitful working
Amen.
In the vessel.
True.
You know, just say, this is the power of God.
Yes.
Let me lock in on that and let me receive.
Absolutely.
Now we'll have to do it.
Yes.
This is not automatic.
Amen.
For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? And that's the things of men every man know. That's why I can preach. It's the spirit of a man, but also the spirit of the living God. Same with you. So, things that are earthy, I can talk of, but also things that are heavenly.
Amen.
Now, we have to jive those up together. When I talk of the heavenly things, then you have to receive them as heavenly things. Otherwise, there'll be foolishness. And you might say something like that, you didn't say it right, Pastor Rice. You say that when you get offended.
Yes.
Everybody understand. You don't have to just use those words. You say that's not right concerning me. Now, if you said concerning Angela, right on. But it's a little bit different with me. See? That's when the natural and the spiritual meet. But when the spiritual and the spiritual meet, we truth, Lord. Truth, Lord.
Amen.
Well. You call me a dog. No, we say truth, Lord.
Truth,
Lord. Hallelujah. Now we have, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Again, that's why we have the Spirit, or must be born again. Because that's the only way we can know the things of God. It's just real simple. We all know the things of men. Absolutely, every man. Find them anywhere, everywhere. We can talk about earthly things. That's what men do. Thank you, Lord. Now we have received not the spirit of the world,
Amen.
But the spirit which is of God,
yes, Lord.
That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He giveth liberally
yes.
and upbraideth not.
Amen.
And we have what it takes
yes.
to cover.
Thank you, Lord.
But
yes.
it's not over because
Amen.
We can.
Amen.
We have to apply ourselves to do it.
Amen.
This will never be the case till we get to the end.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
So we can't sit back on our laurels
Amen.
And... Well, you know, I've been here 20 years, and you know, we just have to strive daily.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Help me, Jesus. I'm thriving now, you know. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. He's a teacher. Grace is a teacher. The Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man is limited. He cannot. Their natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Impossible. They are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet himself is judged of no man. Spiritual is good. Thinking you're spiritual is carnal. All right? Praise the Lord. But being spiritual is life and peace. And thank you, Lord. Now, we can only understand in the spirit. You ever had to understand it? Carl, you won't hear what I'm saying. I'm just telling you now. There's a lot of wisdom. We can learn a lot from things like, I have trouble with the ones who think they're spiritual. There's a lot of wisdom in that. And all that we see, the things that we observe, there's a lot of wisdom. We should look on everything and receive instruction. But we'll have to ask God to tell us. We can't already. Yeah, I saw Terry did that, and this is why he did it. Well, then God can't tell us. And we have bunches of that. We know all about Teresa. We know why she does this. And not only that, we know about so-and-so, and we know about so-and-so. I'm speaking heavenly language. And in that motion, or in that way, God can't tell us anything. And how quick we are when we... Yeah, that sister testified, and she did, and then this what she had in the baby. Nobody ever did that? Well, we're going to let them testify. We're going to see if you be spiritually minded. We pray so. For your good. Hallelujah. Hopefully you won't hear them, railing on you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, Marie, you going to get ready and testify? We're going to put them in the order that they came. Or she said, oh, Jesus. Praise God. Marie, and then Sherry, and then Edie. Praise the Lord. All right. Viva, I'll testify. While I have a chance. Overcomers. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. We can't let you back out, sister. But it's commendable that you want to. I understand that. Y'all know I understand about wanting to back out. But I also understand the peril of it. Yeah, God's got me hedged in. Really? You know, in the evening, I could sleep right through prayer. Hey, absolutely. I lay down to take my nap, and I got to get up. I said, man, I could keep going. That's every day. So I know you can't tell me. I gird up my loins, put on my shoes. Go to the prayer house. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ain't God good?
Amen.
He gives us. Take your time, sister.
Amen.
Lord will help you.
Hallelujah.
You present your body.
Hallelujah. Oh, Father God. I just thank you, Lord. I just want to glorify God in this. And in this testimony, I definitely will. Lord, I have to decrease, Lord, that you may increase, Lord, Heavenly Father. And,
come, Lord.
And there was a, I really I don't want to testify. I do and I don't. But God is good to me. He's been very, very good to me. And I have to talk about the goodness of God no matter what it makes me look like. And I don't even know where to start, Lord, Heavenly Father. So I just ask that you help me, Lord. Lead me and guide me, Lord. Glorify you in this testimony, Lord. So right after Passover, I feel like I went into a really dark place. Really dark. Lord, I don't even know where to start. I don't know where to go. So I have been asking the Lord to search my heart. I've been asking for a while, search my heart, search just my inner chambers of my heart, Lord, Heavenly Father. And right after Passover, I went into I don't know what I went into, to be honest. It was dark. I felt like I couldn't find the Lord at all in any way. And all I could do was cry because I felt like I was just groping in the dark.
Thank you, Lord.
And I didn't know what was happening to me. And I didn't know how to tell people, or I didn't know how to ask. I was asking people for prayer, but I wasn't going into detail. I was just saying, pray for me, pray for me. Mm-hmm. And then one day Brother Edward was passing by. He said, "How are you doing, Sister Marie?" And I just looked at him and I said, "I can't find God." I said, "I don't know what's going on. It's dark." And he said, "Don't move. Don't make any decisions. Don't move. Just let God do whatever it is he's doing." And the only thing I knew, I didn't know nothing, but what I did know was that his word told me that he'd never leave me nor forsake me.
Hallelujah.
So I just held on to those words, and I just kept saying, "I don't know where you're at, but I know you're here. I don't know. I don't know what's happening, Lord." And I started going in to, I had certain, Sister Burgess came up, and she was telling me, she was encouraging me. She said that the Lord had put me on her heart to pray, and she just encouraged me. So I do thank God. Sister Yoko told me, "Be still, be still." She would just look at me. She said, "Just be still, just be still." And I started going to the altar after prayer and just different times of the day when no one's there. And I just started to cry out because I thought I don't know what was happening to me. And I didn't know if God was going to, I didn't know if I took the Passover and I shouldn't have. And I was just in a world spin of, I don't know. I really don't know, but it was scary. I was scared. And I started to just cry and cry on the altar. I was crying all the time, and most of y'all, so I guess y'all saw me. I don't know if you did or not, but I felt like I was crying constantly. And I just, finally I went to the altar, and I didn't even know how to pray. I didn't know what to pray for because I didn't know what was really happening. So I just started speaking in tongues, and I cried like I don't think I've ever cried. And I cried until I couldn't cry no more. I just was there. And I got up. I didn't feel nothing. It was just very scary. And finally the Lord told me, "You have an idol in your heart." And I just,
thank you, Lord.
And I said, "What?" And if any one of you would have told me that, I'd have never believed you. I tell you that. And I just, I didn't know what was happening. I said, "An idol in my heart, Lord." And I have been asking him to search my heart, the inner chambers. So he did it. He showed me. Amen. And he said, "It's covetousness, your discontent." And just so many things that are ugly to me. These are such ugly things. And it makes me feel so like unworthy. And I don't know. I didn't know I had these things in my heart, and I was I was shocked, and I was like, you know, I believed it. And I said, okay, well, and he just took me all the way down in it and showed me exactly the very, very point.
Hallelujah.
And I go, oh, okay, God, I see that. I see that. But if he wouldn't have took me through that whole situation, someone had told me or someone had said it or whatever. It had to come from God. And I asked the Lord to help me and to forgive me, and I received what he told me. I understand. He's given me the understanding, and I'm asking the Lord for a total deliverance and a total healing from what he showed me. But it's the goodness of God.
Hallelujah.
It really is the goodness of God to cleanse me. He's cleansing me, and it doesn't make me feel good, and it doesn't make me look good, but he loves me. He loves me enough to put me through that. And, you know, when I think about putting my children through some things and I discipline them to show them the right way, that's because I love them and I'm his child and he loves me. And he wants me to. He wants me to be cleansed from that. And I see what he told me, and I see it. When certain things happen, I look and I'm asking the Lord to help me to be totally free from that. And a complete healing in my heart. And I don't know. I just want to thank God for my brothers and sisters that pray for me, because I know particular ones here have come up to me when I was going through it, and they told me that they could see that I was doing. They didn't really know what, but where I was, you know, going, they saw something. Yeah. They didn't really know what, but they saw something. And I just kept saying, pray for me. Because I at that time, like I said, I was just groping. I felt like I was groping in the dark. So I thank God for the prayers of the saints. Yeah. I thank God for showing me my wretchedness.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank God for giving me the strength to turn from it. Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Father, for engraving my name in your palm, Lord, Heavenly Father, never leaving me, never
Hallelujah.
Leaving me, never forsaking me. And I just thank him for all that he's done for me. And I know I have a long ways to go still in a short time, because he's coming.
Amen.
He's coming, and he's gonna make us, me, right.
Amen.
And I'm just going to hold on to his unchanging hand, and I just ask God to continue to lead me and guide me and continue to search my heart, the inner chambers, deep parts, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen. So be it, so be it. Hallelujah. Thanks for your testimony, dear sister. Amen. What a beautiful testimony. Again, it testifies the way God does things, huh? We don't just naturally know God. We can't receive it except it comes from heaven. And he knows how to do it. Praise the Lord. He'll get us in that condition and that situation where when he talks, we'll listen. All right? Praise the Lord. So you're not a little flock. And I believe it's so with us all. We all have a long way to go in a short time. That's why striving and pressing and urgency should mean something to us. It really should. Of course, if God's going to get it down to us, he'll have to you know, make his move. You know, like y'all know that? We'll just sit around and shake our head and say amen and keep going on in the same way. But since God's going to save us, then he'll have to get us to the point where we listen when he talks. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Who's next? Sherry, and then Sister Edie.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Lord. All right, here. Hold on. So I have this. I have YouTube on my phone. I'll just hold it. And these shorts are coming up about seals. And it's so interesting that Pastor was just talking about taking something earthly and making it into heavenly. And this is what the Lord did for me. And it's something small, but I always appreciate these little things. And so this short that came on this little video, lately I've been getting them on there. I like to watch other things like maybe how to cook something or, I don't know, sew something that I'm not sure about how to do. But anyway, about seals. And what happens is the seals that are in the ocean, they get entangled in a lot of debris. And then they come up on the beach, and oftentimes they're tied, and their ropes are around them, and they can be within like 100 other seals on the beach, and you can spot them pretty easily because maybe sometimes the nets are green, so they're easy to spot. And the rescuers will go out, and they will, it'll seem violent, you know, because they try to get away, and they chase that one seal that is completely entangled. And it'll seem violent by their tail fins and try to push their face into the ground and then maybe stick their hands on their neck and because they're trying to fight back. And let me think here for a second how I want to say this, Lord, help me. I see this heavenly. It's an earthy thing that they get entangled in all this debris. And sometimes it's around the plastic is in their mouth and their mouth is wide open. And then they have to go out to sea. And they're easy prey for their predators, you know, whales and sharks. And then they're not able to actually move around all that much. And the Lord showed me that a lot of this is how Christians are. You know, we're entangled in our sin. We're entangled in our afflictions. And we get there on the beach, and we don't know who our rescuer is. And then it's violent. It can be violent to seem the way that we're going. It can hurt. It's very painful to be caught. And to have these ropes and, you know, cut off from us because sometimes they're so deeply embedded into the flesh that when they pull them out, there's an inch of red flesh, blood coming off as it's being pulled off. You can see the seal is in pain, but it's been on there for so long. And sometimes they're so skinny because they can't eat. But this is a rescuer. This is our Savior who rescues us. We're in similar situations. We get in sin. We get in affliction. And it's so painful. We don't even know that's our rescuer. And we're trying to get away. You know, we try to get back into the ocean. And he has to catch us. And he has to, you know, really hold us down to get these scissors underneath the ropes and things to get them off. But it was something I asked the Lord when he showed me this the other day and how they parallel, you know, they parallel. One thing is when a rescuer is going out to rescue a seal and they're in a pod of, say, 100 other seals, you know, those seals don't come over and try to beat off the rescuer. You know what they do? They all run into the ocean. The rescuer is the one that rescues us. He is the only one. We cannot do it ourselves. He is the only one that can save us. He is our Savior. He's blessed. And I asked the Lord to expound on it a little bit for me just so that I could take full. I know it's an earthy thing, but if you can put it into the spiritual, maybe, you know, I see myself in that. I can see myself when the Savior tries to help me through my afflictions, how he helps me try to save me from my sin and how difficult it is sometimes for me to allow him to just take off the netting and the fishing wire off of me, all the sin, all the places I've gotten to that I shouldn't be, even Sister Marie's testimony. It just made me think of that very same thing, you know, that we get entangled and we get in this dark place, but we, you know, we have to trust our Savior to help us through our afflictions. And it was just that. Hallelujah.
Glory. All right. Thank you for your testimony. The overcomer. Sister Edie, you got to testify. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, spiritual and thinking you're spiritual. What's the difference? Well, it's the same way with everything. When we do things in the flesh, and we call them spiritual. That's what it is. And that's easy to do. Absolutely. We need divine grace not to do it. So when we do it, like even if we're trying to put a spiritual application, if it's something that we came up with, it's still thinking you're spiritual rather than waiting for God and really get what's going on. See, we've got situations going on now. If you got people, you got situations. There's some that think they've got it figured out. No matter what the preachers say, they just throw away everything he say and say, I got it figured out. This is what need to happen. Well, that's when you think you're spiritual. Did I say it well?
Amen. Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Call it.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to give the testimony of my conversion. I've talked about it here and there, but I want to get a little more detail. I remember, first of all, I need Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The Lord has taught me that I need Jesus. I'm nothing. Can't do anything without him. Can't think right, can't talk right. Right now, I need him to help me because I got a 26 years worth of stuff that he's helped me through that I need to condense, and he can only do that. I need your anointing, Lord. Please help me.
Amen.
I believe I was 35. I was searching for God. I didn't know where he was. I didn't know where to find him. But I knew he existed. I found myself going into a bookstore, looking at all the different books in the religious section, all the New Age books. Very seductive books. I overlooked the Bible because I was looking, thought I was looking for something more. So I bought a few books. I was, I got involved with the New Age. The Lord, back up a little. I did meet the Lord at 12 years old. I was baptized in the name of Jesus. And I believe he's had his hand on me ever since. I believe he does that to children so they're his.
Amen.
He puts his hand on you. Even though you're born chosen, I believe that he brings you early. Because then he lets you go. He has to. He has to show you how much you need him. Like Maria, I don't want to do this. Like Pastor says, I'm hedged in.
Amen.
And that's the truth. Because I want my life to glorify him. So, I got involved in it. And it's like, some of it I could relate to, and some of it was like, no. This just can't be. I just knew. You know, this one world antichrist religion, it's permeated society. We have it here. You gotta let go. It's just not it. It's just not it. We gotta go. We gotta let go. Let God help us. But anyway, I met my first husband. He was Brazilian, and this was coming on 1999. We met in 98, but 1999 heading into the 2000. I knew something was happening. Something like Y2K and all, everything. It was just a shift. Like the prophet spoke about. The year 2000 was very pivotal. But I knew I needed God. I needed him, and the New Age wasn't it. That's not it. Louise says, one day, the Lord will just use one scripture. And I've heard this scripture before. But this time, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me.
Hallelujah.
And the new age thing is, you know, all roads lead to Rome, you know. God help us. But that scripture, the Lord used it. It's like, yes, Jesus. I remember Jesus. I remember believing, being baptized, wanting to serve him. And then the devil comes in and says, well, no, you're not going to be able to have no fun doing that. Well, I believed him, and I just went off. But the Y2K thing, yeah. It's like, yeah, we need to go to church. I think we really need, and he agreed, you know, yeah, we need to do something here because something's happening. So there was one church. It had a real pull. And we looked in the phone book. We looked, you know, looked up and down the streets. But this one church, I look, you know, hindsight is 20/20. When I look back and see what he's done, what Jesus has done in my life. So it was the Cathedral of Pentecost, Pembroke Pines, Florida. So we went, and I had never been to a Pentecostal church, sitting in the back pew. And the preaching was like, wow, Jesus. Fiery, truth. It's truth. Talked about Jesus. That's all I remember. Jesus. But I was in the back pew and I just started crying. The Holy Ghost was all over me. I couldn't stop crying. Two of the brothers came by and prayed for me. And I'm like, wow, Lord. I didn't go to the altar that day. But we went back. We went back. I think it was the next time, the following Sunday, there was a move of the Holy Ghost. And they were dancing and shouting. And I'm like, whoa, what is that? You know, but I could feel the Holy Ghost. Jesus, if he moves on you, you're going to feel him. It's not about feelings. You don't make decisions on feelings. But you feel rushing mighty wind, Jesus. So anyway, that was shocking. I said, what is this? But I was attracted. I was drawn to the Holy Ghost. I wanted it. I wanted more. I wanted the Holy Ghost. And he was preaching Holy Ghost. He was preaching baptism. He was preaching sin. He was preaching forgiveness. He was preaching the Bible. And then I started going to the altar, running to the altar, just crying, repenting, seeking the Holy Ghost. So then I got baptized. Luis got baptized. And one of the sisters is like, you know, he only did that for you. What he did wasn't real, you know, it was like a show, like a lot of people do. I come to realize that it was true. He did. When I finally got born again, it took me 3 months to actually receive the Holy Ghost. I didn't trust humanity. I didn't trust. But when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, a love I had never, ever felt before just picked me up and cradled me. It's like, I love you. And I was changed. I was totally and completely changed. When I went back to work Monday morning, they're like looking at me like I got three heads. Who is that? Where's Edie? I told them. And that was the beginning of the end of my career. Now, I've told you about my career, how that went. But it was the truth. They didn't want anything to do with me. But as time went on in the church, things started changing. Strange. As I believe the pastor was separated by God and preserved for me. I see it now. I truly see it. And I'm so thankful. So thankful for him. I'm so thankful for Pastor Rice, because, man, Jesus, they both have the fire of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that Pastor Rice preaches the truth. And he strengthens me every day. My faith hinges on the Word of God. I'm saved by the Word of God. Preaching is to save them that believe.
Hallelujah.
If you don't believe the Word of God, then you're not going to be saved. That's how I see it. And it's the truth. The Word of God. Not New Age twisted Word of God. Not perverted Word of God. Not Mystery Babylon Word of God. Because the New Age uses the Bible. Let me tell you something. Oh, yes, he does. The devil knows the Word of God better than we do.
Amen.
I'm a witness.
Thank you, Lord.
So, I just start seeing stuff in the church that resembles what I've gone through in the State Department. I'm like, what is going on here? And they start talking about, you know, purpose-driven. And I'm like, oh, what's this? But Lord, what is this? They start doing things different. They're tearing down the old school, and they're reinventing church. So, yeah. So the Lord, what I want to say is the Lord saved me from New Age, brought me into a church that he preserved. I was born again by the Spirit, fire baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm a member of the body of Christ by birth.
Hallelujah.
I didn't join. And then he turns around and he takes me out. So he got me in, took me out. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's my point. And now the churches are apostate. The world is apostate. The Antichrist spirit is stronger and stronger and stronger. It's getting harder and harder and harder. I feel like my faith is on trial. And it is.
It is.
And I have to battle it every moment. Help me, Jesus. I want to say something. I believe the Lord would have me say it. Help me say it right.
Yes, Lord.
With grace. I didn't hear it from the prophet. I didn't hear him say anything like this. Pastor doesn't say anything like this. But there is an insidious spirit that would want to make you believe that once you get here, you know, you did not, God never did anything for you until you got here. No. No, I'm not believing it. The Lord brought me a mighty long way.
Hallelujah.
When I got born again, the Lord hit me with trial after trial. I had three. I only talked about the State Department. I got the State Department. I got the purpose-driven church. I got my husband, who I loved, turning against me because I'm too you're radical. You're fanatic. All you think about is Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. All I think about is Jesus. I still only think about Jesus. And I'm going to continue to think about Jesus. They didn't like it back then. They don't like it now. And I don't care. I don't. It's not going to stop. It's not. But yes, he hit me so hard. The Lord hit me hard. It's coming at me from all angles because he wanted me strong.
Hallelujah.
I believe that. I might appear hard. Yeah, I'm hard. I'm hard against the New World Order. I'm hard against rebellion. I'm hard. But I'm not hard toward God.
Hallelujah.
I'm not hard toward loving you. I love all of you. I love you. But I'm not going to compromise with the world. By the grace of God, as he gives me grace every moment, I will stand. And I just want to give God all the glory. And I'm thankful to be here. When I heard the prophet preach, I'm like, wow. I'm sitting there all by myself. Like, wow, Lord, is he real? He's preaching like I believe. That's what I believe. Faith comes by hearing. I heard the word of God. I was born again. I have a foundation that's immovable. But now we build upon it. Prophet building upon it. Pastor's building upon it. I've grown since I've been here. I believe that. Grace to grace, faith to faith. Just keep going, keep marching. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't help me, Jesus. There's a tendency. Okay. The prophet, thank you, Lord. The prophet warned us. I have it written down. The warning is they will seek unity at the expense of the truth. The Jezebel spirit, that's the spirit of the world. It's like Pastor said, it's just the religious system. And it wants unity. The world is coming into unity under the Antichrist. That's just the way it is. The one world religion. But he warned about that. We need to have that in the forefront of our mind and our heart. You don't seek unity at the expense of the truth. We need to hold on to what Pastor's preaching. Because he's preaching the truth. You know, the Lord said, you choose. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. We got a choice. It's right here. We're going through the tribulation.
Hallelujah.
But we're here because God wants to keep us till he comes back.
Thank you, Lord.
But we still have to choose. We're not there yet. We got brothers and sisters because they probably will lose their head. I just want to give God all the glory for where he's brought me from. That's all I want to do. I want to see his people love the truth. I want to see his people rejoicing just because he is. How many of you have forgotten where God brought you from? I ask the Lord every day, please help me remember.
Yes, Lord.
I don't want to forget. I didn't come through these doors to forget. No. Oh, we do things different here. Okay. You don't do God different. God brought me here. And that's all I really want to say is I just want to give God the glory for where he brought me from. And I just want to speak for myself. I love each and every one of you. I'm human. I got old man flesh.
We do.
But I love the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I seek righteousness.
Yes, Lord.
I'm not looking for you halting. I want to see you succeed. I pray for you. Let me go back just a second here. My first pastor, David Elms, I loved him. He had the Holy Ghost. I had a witness. I pray for him that God will deliver him out of the apostate church. He broke my heart when he went the way he went. I trusted him. But I'm going to say right here, right now, I trust you, Pastor Rice. I trust you have the Holy Ghost, powerful anointing on you. And I love you. I love Jesus in you.
Hallelujah.
And I just want to, that's all I really want to say. And I could go on and on and on and keep saying it because it's my heart.
Hallelujah.
It's my heart. It's all I can do is say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Lord. Really? Okay. Oh, I'm thankful for Kurt. I really am thankful. And I believe it's of God. Because I've tried the Lord on it. And every time, it's of God.
Hallelujah.
He's teaching me how to submit. And submission is just relinquishing your own will.
That's what it's called.
To God. But I just want to say that it's God. And I know a lot of you don't like that idea, but I can't help that either. Let God have his own way. I just want to tell you, Kurt, that I appreciate you and I love you. And I love the Lord that's in you. I pray for you. That God has his way. God bless you, sir.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. So glad you're here eating. We thank God for these testimonies. We certainly need to hear them. All right. But that's the perception that Edie has that a lot of us don't want to hear. That's not the case. It may appear like that. Everybody understand? That's my judgment. Yeah. We got iniquity and selfishness, but all in all, we're glad you're here. Praise the Lord. And, I say that honestly. Yeah, we just have to forbear one another, suffer along with one another. All right. We've got another testimony. Seem like one encourages another. That's the way it ought to be. I'm provoked of what I heard. Praise God. Terry talks about the intricate workings. Well, that's what's going on. And that's why for the last few days I keep iterating, stop trying to figure it out and make your judgment. Just saying, like you stand still and see. Don't make your judgments. Let the truth come out. Let it be told. Let it be revealed. That means you'll have to say, I don't know. You know, Jesus said, I'm coming to the world for judgment, that they that see not might see, and they that see might be made blind. So if we say, well, I don't know, that's my exclamation point. Praise the Lord. All right, we got another testimony. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Marie, because you helped me with a testimony that I wasn't knowing how to approach it, really, but the Lord being my helper, what to say and what not to say.
Amen.
So, you know that I told you I was saved as a child, and so I was a very joyful child, you know, and I loved to make my mom crazy, dancing around the kitchen and singing hymns. I'm seriously crazy. And so I never did very well on witnessing, though, because I had incomplete knowledge. You know, I was marrying. I was the bride of Christ. I took it very seriously and very joyfully. I totally understood what was going on. And so I lacked a lot of other understanding, however. And so when I came to meet Brother Stair's ministry, thanks to Brother Dennis, I really, really love that man of God because he saved me from a lot of wrong knowledge, you know, a lot of untruths. And he brought me to a more complete knowledge of the truth. And we're constantly, even though we've heard things over again, you know, we're constantly learning more and more, more completely, what the word means. And even though I've been saved for a long time, I just turned 67 recently. I'm the least among you. I am no spiritual giant. I have a tender heart, but a very hard head. And so the Lord is still working on me. I'm the tough case. And I remember when I was young, first starting out, you know, to get a job and all, and I would write a resume and not having a lot of experiences to give, you know, for work experience, I would try to get my qualities, say how loyal I was and conscientious and, you know, a good learner and all these things. But little by little throughout my life, the Lord has concentrated on showing me the myths I held about myself, you know, how I wasn't loyal, you know, been unfaithful. I remember when I was young, I'm old enough that I can say it was shocking to hear about people living together. Utterly shocking. I was shocked when I would hear about it. And now it's just so very common. Nobody even thinks twice about hearing these things, you know. And so here I thought I was going to be married forever and have a big family like my mom and dad, a happy home, you know. And I've been married repeatedly. And thought I was so lovable. And even when Brother Stair told us, you're not lovable, I still had a little trouble believing that. But I believe it. I totally believe it now. That you should love me, Lord. Dear God, thank you, Jesus. I'm so grateful, Lord, that you shed your love upon me and you gave your life for me, Lord. I'm so very grateful, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm undeserving. I know it. I really, really know that. And so there's something that's been happening with me, and it's kind of funny, and it's very humbling, and it's not funny at all for me. But I'm taking a physical, earthly thing, and I'm going to tell you a spiritual application. But everywhere I go, inside or out, if there's a flea in the room, it finds me. They love me. They absolutely love me. Well, you know, what am I going to deduce? I'm like, okay, Lord, even the dogs eat from the crumbs on the master's table. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for humbling me, Lord. Dear Father God, well, I don't want to justify myself about anything, but I will say this, that there are things that we don't understand and we need to be very careful about judging one another. And right now I'm struggling with that, you know, and I love my sisters and brothers, and just give me time on certain things, Lord. But, well, I know for myself that years ago when we were at Victory Community, that's been, you know, 25 years ago that we first got there, more than that, almost 30. And we were there for 5 years. And Brother Stair and Teresa, Sister Teresa, came after a trip to Canada. And he had first started having neuralgia attacks when he was in Canada, right before coming to Victory. And I remember that while he was there in the dining hall, I would observe him being seized by extreme pain, by the neuralgia attacks. And it would just stop him cold. And nobody seemed to notice at all. Nobody. I would look around the room and I would say, doesn't anybody see he's in extreme pain? To myself, I'm like, nobody seemed to notice it at all. And the Lord just seemed to give me a burden. And so, you know, I would pray or I would say, well, Lord, put some of that pain on me. Take it off him, you know, because I could see he was suffering. So later on, when Brother Stair had his first heart attack, well, the only heart attack I really know for sure, but he had some strokes. I observed him. Brother Edward tended to him. Move it back a little bit. Okay, thank you. I'm not good with the mic at all. I don't know how to handle them. But, Brother Stair and I had become friends. Yes, and I will confess to that. He was alone, and you know his history, and I was estranged from my husband. And so Brother Stair, I was fixing to walk by because I hated the situation, really. I really did. And I was going to walk right by, but then I saw Edward's cart. And so I had to stop, and I went in. And he'd had a heart attack. And shortly thereafter that day, Brother Stair asked, would I take care of him? Would I come to the house, live there, and take care of him? And I said, I'll have to ask my husband, and I did. And he loves Brother Stair. He loved him, and we were estranged. And he said yes immediately. And so I lived with Brother Stair till he died, and I took care of him the best I knew how. And I borne the reproach. There's some here who still haven't forgiven me for it. And they let me know it every day. And their manner risen toward me. But for the most part, the saints have been very kind. Because they loved him too, you know. And it was hard for many to see how sick he was. I knew he was dying, but I still didn't expect him to die that quickly. And others couldn't see it because he always was the strong man, even in his illness. When he was preaching, you just couldn't tell he was dying. So it happened quicker than we expected. But the Lord had his purpose, and he had a different dispensation, I believe. You know that he needed to do this finishing work, this last 5%, you know. And I thank God that he brought Pastor Rice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the Lord's still working on me. And I know that, and I'm so grateful. I need a lot of finishing. And I'm just grateful, Lord. And I just wanted to acknowledge you, Father, in everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, saints. All right, Brother Walter, we got any harvesting today? No, good. Good, good, good. All right. We are the harvest, huh? The precious fruit of the earth. The husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth. He had long patience for it. He's waiting on us that he may be gracious to us. Ain't that all right? Oh, they got tired on us. Praise the Lord. Oh, help Jesus. I won't be too long then, huh? Hallelujah. So we thank God for the testimonies. All right. Well, intricate workings, okay. We'll look at that for a minute, and then we'll try to conclude. But I don't. Help me, Jesus. Well, I know I was saved as a child, too. Of course, I didn't act like it. I got saved and started backsliding. Y'all know that? Absolutely. Of course, it wasn't dramatic, but it was salvation so that I knew, you know, that I was saved. I didn't know how to perform it, but, you know. That's how it started with me. And when I look back on it, I look at all the patience God had with me. You know, I think about that when I see folk now, and I say, well, you know, it can't last forever, but he's long-suffering, but there's an end to it, you know. And that's why I'm so gracious, because he let me go all that time. You know, and I was, there was times I would think, you know, am I going to stay in this situation or not? You know, there was time that conviction would come. Of course, I'd try to get away from it. So I know about that. See, everything I talk about, I know about. You know, when that conviction would come, and I had something to go do to gratify my flesh, I'd shake the conviction off. See, I know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. As long as he let me do it. And since he was determined to save me, there came a time I couldn't shake it off. I'm so glad. Amen. Hallelujah. But I believe what's going on now is the intricate working, which means that the best we can do is know that God's doing it. Again, I don't know that there's somebody that holds stuff against Rose. I think that's her perception. That's my judgment. Absolutely. Who here is not a sinner like Rose? I don't know one. Huh? Is there a sinner here that not like Rose? I know none. See, that's just the truth. I know not one. The Heavenly Father know not any. Exactly. So if we hold something against our neighbor, guess what? We hold it against ourselves. So I think, you know, we're people, and we're not always nice, and we don't always say nice things. But as go as far as say that they hold it against, I don't know about that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Let me finish this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yeah, God's got a lot of work to do with us. And we have faith to believe that he'll finish it. We know there's no other way that it can be done. Except God finish it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I need help, Lord. You saints need help?
Yes, sir.
Glory. So let's do this for a minute. We made the revision or the change concerning Pentecost because it was told me that we need to do it another way. We'd always count it from the Sabbath after Passover. But I would always do it after the weekly Sabbath, which would always put us on a Sunday. But this time we determined to do it from the high Sabbath, or the second day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, 50 days. We tried to get that out there, but everybody didn't get the word. you know, we just grew in grace and come into the knowledge. You know, we can't do anything against the truth. You know, when we know better, we do better. All right? Praise the Lord. So that's what's happening. Today, we don't consider Pentecost, though we're still in the season. Usually, I think they observe it 2 days because of time frame. And, you know, there are church all around the world. Church is universal. So they observe it 2 days and everybody get to. Ain't that all right? Hallelujah. intricate, manifold wisdom. Intricate describes something with many complexly arranged interconnecting parts or small details. It implies an elaborate, highly detailed, and beautiful structure that requires careful attention to understand and navigate. So that's how God's working on. We can't just haphazardly. It's elaborate, it's intricate, it's detailed. It's different than complicated, though. You know, there's a word, complicated and intricate, not the same. Because, you're right, the intricate working of God is in the simplicity of Christ. Yeah, and we don't want to be moved away from the simplicity. But it is intricate. It's detailed, it's interconnected. That's why I always talk about the word of God is the same always. You know, people in trouble, God give them a word or give them a verse. He give them anyone. It's just whichever one he want to work from. And that's how we do the scriptures. God give me a meditation. I work from any of them. Huh? I mean, if God's going to help me, otherwise I could have a whole library and still not make it. Thank you, Lord. But intricate means that it is detailed. And it's manifold. It's just not when we miss it, it's when we just perceive it as concerning us. And then we never see, not even close to the whole picture. If we look at it as us being part of the body, then we begin to see the intricate work. Because it's not only what God is working in you, it's what God's working in me. And we don't have to know in detail. We don't. But we have to put that in the equation. That this, what is happening with me, it's also working something in you and in you. And if we look at it that way, and then we won't be so concerned about ourselves. We'll know that God is concerned about his body. We'll say this is happening, but it's for the furtherance of the gospel. Whether it's sin or whatever, it's for the furtherance of the gospel. And don't get me wrong. Go and sin no more is a good word. But if we sin, it's in the book. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Thank you, Lord. We will get to the point where we don't sin. I promise you that. The Word of God said so. Hallelujah. Yeah, we look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So just keep that in your mirror there. That whatever God is doing, we've heard it before, we said it before, but I believe God's endeavoring to drive it closer home now. You know, everything that's, I told you, I said, oh, Neil and Sherry's here. Well, it concerns all of us. Y'all know I said that. And I judge it like that. Some judge it like, but I judge it like it concerns all of us. Yeah, otherwise he took them somewhere else. And he's taking you somewhere else. All right? But we're all here because our lives are interconnected. And you know, what's happening, my trials, my afflictions, is concerning all of us. Which means God is using it in the perfection of everybody this year. Now, if we think we can expound on all that, then we think we're spiritual. But if we just understand that it's going on, then we're spiritual. See how I make the difference? See? I defined spiritual and thank you, Spirit. See, I did it twice. How about by the help of the Lord? Glory, glory. No, we can know that God's working out something, and then we figure we know what it is, then we think we're spiritual.
Right.
If God tells us, then we know.
Amen.
Huh? Thank you, Lord. But we need to make sure God tells us.
Yes,
it'll fall out, you know.
Yes,
it'll come to light. Thank you, Lord. Oh, help me, Jesus. The resurrection defended. Retain God in your knowledge. I heard the preacher talking about knowledge without God. Well, yeah, that's mostly what the world is. They don't know God. I've even got a scripture that says that. Huh? Some men have not the knowledge of God. Another place it says all men have not faith. Either one of those categories don't know God. Men that know God have faith. Hallelujah. Absolutely. And we have faith. Each of us have faith. And we do know God. Absolutely. And we are known of God. This is something to, you know, put up front. Then we can, you know, forget all the other stuff. At least put it on, you know, peripheral. And we can focus on that. Here we are, children of faith. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, they're getting tired on me, Lord. But even I understand that God is working. That's an intricate working of God, too. Your nonchalance, you're hard-headed, your stubbornness. It's not right, but God's working it out for good. This is the intricate working of God. Whatever happens, God's going to work it for his purpose. Absolutely. Ain't that wise? I don't care what you do. God's going to work it out to perform his will and his good pleasure. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. So I'm going to end with that. I thank God for his intricate workings. Amen. His manifold grace. Huh? His sufficient grace. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Knowledge without God. Yeah. This pertains to us. Knowledge above God. How about that? We do know God, don't we? But then we get knowledge above God. What is that? Well, that's when we think we're spiritual. Boy, this is good. Praise the Lord, saint. Hallelujah. But God would have us to be spiritual because he wants us to judge all things. Absolutely. But he wants to judge righteous. Yeah, we're going to judge anyway. You know we are. Absolutely. Judge righteous judgment. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pray for us, Brother Tim.
Let's see. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not to put in the way of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you each day, Lord, as we just go forth and in faith. You give us enough faith to take another step, and we're not going to figure it all out, but we just continue to put our trust in you, Lord, and we endure the operation of your hand, and we know that all things truly working together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to your purpose. But help us to apply that more perfectly, Lord, and understand, Lord, that we're just undone, but you are determined to save us, and so we thank you for each day you give us space to repent and give us an opportunity to, oh, search our hearts and examine ourselves and see if we be in the faith. And so we thank you. With the trials of our faith also comes the love of God being shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost. And we thank you, Lord, that we can each day keep ourselves in the love of God and just really understand you love us and that you're working out for our good. You told us your thoughts you think toward us and thoughts of peace and not evil to give us expected end. And so help us to believe that more perfectly, Lord, that we just continue to endure. Wait for our change to come, Lord. We know we have an appointed time, and we don't know what each day is going to bring, but every day, Lord, more and more, we're just going to look unto you, Jesus, even the author and the finisher of our faith. You begun a good work. You will perform it. You cannot lie. And we thank you, Lord, again, that you've chosen us, not by any works of right, you've done according to your mercy, Lord. And so help us to be merciful one to another. And again, oh, God, put a bridle on our tongue, Lord. We speak the things that are right, Lord. And too often we still say the things that aren't right. And help us to truly be that people you could speak as under spiritual. Because, oh, the old carnal mind is just pitiful, Lord. It takes us the wrong way every time. And so we need a great deliverance. And you're a great deliverer. And you are delivering us. And Thank you for Pastor Rice. He labors and ministers. I know it's a labor. I know it experimentally. And
yes, Lord.
Thank you for the prophet sent to let us know you come in a lifetime, and for the saints living in, listening in as well, Lord. And thank you for the season we are in Pentecost, oh God. And I believe you have visited us, oh God, during this time. And
absolutely.
We know, Lord, that you do all things well, and you're mindful of us, oh God. And so really, Lord, help us each day, Lord, to just wait for a change to come and be thankful to be here, Lord. You got us in a good place. And so, again, oh God, as always say, Lord, keep us in your will and your way. Make us ready and make us one. Commit in your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Yeah, there's a fight we must overcome to come to the right judgment, right understanding. And like I say, all we have to confess is what we know, and the other, just leave it alone. We know that we're all children of God. We know that He is God. I tell you, that's how you speak the same thing. That's how you have peace among yourself. The other stuff, you don't have to know. You don't have to judge why Terry did that. Amen. Just know that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are the children of God. And if you know anything else, He'll never leave us. He'll never. You can say all those things. But the stuff you don't know, don't say. We usually do it the other way. The stuff I feel or what I think, I say. That which I really know that we're all, I don't say. And that's why we make wrong judgments. I'm telling y'all the truth. Yeah, we don't know, just don't know. But the stuff we don't know, boy, we say it with conviction. Yes, we do. Why? Because we think we know. Then I guess we don't see then. Because we say we see. Hallelujah. I got another verse. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Hallelujah. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Next line, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. Isn't that all right? Hallelujah. Now we can consider, you know, God is partakers with us. Right. The scriptures maintain throughout the whole book that Jesus Christ is the seed of Abraham, the son of David. Why would he want to be associated with folk like David? Come on. And Jacob and them sons, especially that Judah fellow. Come on. And that's the tribe he came from. Why would he do that? Now we're beginning to see some of the intricate workings of God. Absolutely. And he makes it known everywhere. The seed of Abraham and the son of David. Praise God. Declared to be the son of God with power according to the resurrection of the dead. Well, you see how he identified with that rascal David. Yeah, the son of David. That old Judah fella. Y'all remember? Well, you can name any of them. You know, just mankind. And he said, he's not ashamed to call us brethren. We're not ashamed to call Rose sister, are we? Can we call Edie sister? Absolutely. Yeah, we're not ashamed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, just like Brother Stair was saying, like we all say, God does good things for us, not because we're good, but because he's good. And that's why he did it for David. Hallelujah. Go and tell David, my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in an house since the day that I was brought up, since the day that I brought Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent. Mm-hmm. How about that? Amen. Huh? Almighty God dwelling in a tent? David said, I'm going to fix this. Amen. Look at my good house. Yeah, right. And then here's the Yahweh dwelling in tents. I'm going to fix it. Oh, God. Now the word came back. No, David, you ain't going to build no house for me. I'm going to build a house for you. Hallelujah. But I'm going to raise up a seed after you, your son, and he'll build me a house. And here we are. Huh? We're his house. Whose house we are? If we hold firm the confidence and rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end. Praise the Lord. Lord bless your saints, Maranatha. Oh, love those testimonies. The Lord is coming. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. We love not our lives to the death. Jesus Christ is coming. Maranatha.